भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 8, Chapter 5, Text 31, The Demigods Appeal to the Lord. Ime mayam yat priyayaiva tanva satvena shrishta bahir antar avihi Gatim na shukshmam rashayas chavidmahe kuto asuradya itara pradanaha ime vayam yat priyayaiva tanva Satvena shrishta bahiranta avihi Gatim na shukshmam rishayascha vidmahe Kuto suradya itara pradanaha Does that actually work? No. Ime vayam yat priyaiva tanva Satvena shishta bahir anta avihi Gatim na shukshmam rishayascha vidmahe Kuto saradya itara pradanaha. Ime vayam yat priyayai vaptanva. Satvena shrishta bahirantavihi. Gatim na shukshmam rishayascha vidmahe Kuto suradya itara pradanaha Ime vayam yat pitayaiva tanva Svatvena yusta priyayava tanvai Satvena pavidmahe Kuto saradya itara pradanaha Ime vayam yat pitayaiva tanva Vena prista randotani Katim na shukshmam rishayascha vidmahe Kuto suradya itara pradanaha Ime gnam apriyayaiva tanva Satvena shrishta bahiranva avihi Gatim na shukshmam rishayascha vidmahe Kuto suradya itara pradanaha Ime vayam yat priyayaiva tanva Sadvena Shishta Bahiran Vanadvihi Gatim na shukshram rishayas chavid mahe. Vada asaradya dura pradana. Ime vayam yat priyayai vatanva. Dvena shishta vahirantara vihi. Katim na shukshmam rishayas chavid mahe. Kuto suradya itara pradanaha. Matajis. Ime vayam yat priyayai vatanva. Satvena shishta bahiranta avihi. Katim na shukshvam rishayas na virvaye. Kuto suradya itara pradanaha. Ime vayam yat pritayai vatanva. Satvena shrishta bahiranta avihi. Katim na shukshma mrishayas ca vidmahe. Kuto suradya itara pradanaha. Ime vayam yat priyayai vatanva. Advena shrishta bahiranta avihi. Katim na shukshvam rishayas ca vidmahe. Kuto suradya itara danaha. Ime, these, vayam, we the demigods, yat, to whom, priyaya, appearing very near and dear, eva, certainly. Hold on a second, I just lost the whole thing. Okay, forget that. Tanva, the material body. Satvena, by the mode of goodness. Shrishta, created. Bahi anti avihi, although fully aware, internally and externally. Gatim, destination. Na, not. Shukshmam, very subtle. Rishaya, great saintly persons. Cha, also. Vidmahe, understand. Kuta, how. Asura adya, the demons and atheists. Itara, who are insignificant in their identities. Pradana, although they are leaders of their own societies. Translation. Since our bodies are made of sattva-gun, we the demigods are internally and externally situated in goodness. All the great saints are also situated in that way. Therefore, if even we cannot understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead, what is to be said of those who are most insignificant in their bodily constitutions, being situated in the mode of passion and ignorance? How can they understand the Lord? Let us offer our respectful obeisances unto Him. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Atheists and demons cannot understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead, although he is situated within everyone. For them, the Lord finally appears in the form of death, as confirmed in Bhagavad Gita, Mrityu Sarva Haras Chaham. Atheists think that they are independent, and therefore they do not care about the supremacy of the Lord. Yet the Lord asserts his supremacy when he overcomes them as death. At the time of death, their attempts to use their so-called scientific knowledge and philosophical speculation to deny the supremacy of the Lord cannot work. Hiranyakasipu, for example, was an exalted representative of the atheistic class of men. He always challenged the existence of God, and thus he became inimical even toward his own son. Everyone was afraid of Hiranyakasipu's atheistic principles. Nonetheless, when Lord Nrisimhadeva appeared in order to kill him, Hiranyakasipu's atheistic principles could not save him. Lord Nrisimhadeva killed Hiranyakasipu and took away all his power, influence, and pride. Atheistic men, however, never understand how everything they create is annihilated. The Supersoul is situated within them, but because of the predominance of the modes of passion and ignorance, they cannot understand the supremacy of the Lord. Even the demigods, the devotees who are transcendentally situated or situated on the platform of goodness, are not fully aware of the qualities and position of the Lord. How then can the demons and atheists understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead? It is not possible. Therefore, to gain this understanding, the demigods, headed by Lord Brahma, offered their respectful obeisances unto the Lord. Ime vayam yat priyayaiva tanva satvena shrishta bhayaranta avihi gatim nashukshmam rishayas chavidmahe kuto suradya ihara pranaha. Since our bodies are made of sattva-gun, we the demigods are internally and externally situated in goodness. All the great saints are also situated in that way. Therefore, if even we cannot understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead, what is to be said of those who are most insignificant in their bodily constitutions, being situated in the modes of passion and ignorance? How can they understand the Lord? Let us offer our respectful obeisances unto him. Om Ajnanatmirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chaksur Unmilitam Jena Tasmai Sri Guruve Namah. I was born in the darkness of ignorance, and my spiritual master opened my eyes with the torchlight of knowledge. I offer my respectful obeisances unto his lotus feet. So herein, the understanding that even the devotees cannot fully understand, and the demigods cannot fully understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead. What to speak of those in the mode of passion and ignorance, the demons and the atheists? They can never understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The verse in Bhagavad Gita states that fools deride me when I descend in my human form. They do not understand my transcendental nature and my dominion over all that be. Krishna states in Bhagavad Gita. This is the situation that without the mercy of the spiritual master and the predecessor acharyas, there's no question of understanding, perceiving the true nature of God. We heard yesterday, with our blunt material senses, we think that the sun is the size of a half dollar, an old half dollar. But actually the sun is so humongous, so big, but to our mundane eyes, we see it in a small fashion from our vision. What to speak the Supreme Personality of Godhead, we can't perceive His unlimited greatness. Therefore, the science of spirituality is not a concoction that I simply sit and imagine what is God, or I concoct what I think is God, or what makes me good, feel good, thinking about God. But real devotional service is understood, evam parampara praptam imam rajarshayo vidu. The real science of Krishna consciousness is understood in the disciplic succession, from spiritual master to disciple, spiritual master to disciple. By the grace of Srila Prabhupada, we understand who is Krishna, what He looks like, what His activities are, who His lovers are, what does He engage in. By our own consciousness, we can't figure out what is God. I believed in God from very young age, myself personally. I was brought up in a religious setting, like most of you Catholics and Jews in Hare Krishna movement, born in Catholic families and Jewish families. We were God-fearing, and that's mostly fearing. I actually, in my mind, God was, as my mother explained to me, an extremely old man with a long white beard and a cane who was engaged in the science of punishing children. Because every time I fell, every time I hurt my, I broke my elbow when I was three, horsing around on a little toy tractor in the basement. And I was scared to tell my mother. I didn't tell her till I had a fever and was shivering that something was wrong. My sister was helping me hide it because my mother would yell at me and say, "See how God has punished you." And I believed God was there as an old man punishing the children constantly. Kids would want to do something, but I said, "We shouldn't do that." They said, "Why?" I said, "Because God's going to punish us. Maybe our parents won't find out, but the old man's going to kill us for this." And sure enough, we'd step on a nail, we'd fall off the curb, something. Someone would get hit by a bicycle, something terrible. And this was my understanding 24/7 of God. I was always thinking, I can't step on Mr. Johnson's grass because God will punish me. I don't even care about Mr. Johnson. But God, He's watching, and He doesn't like little kids stepping on Mr. Johnson's grass. And this is how the Western conception, you might find it humorous, especially those from India, but this was our parampara system. My mother and father taught me that this is God. And certain days, we have to follow some rituals, because again, God will punish you. There's one day in this particular religion, you have to fast the whole day, just like in our Krishna consciousness. We fast on Ekadasis, we fast on Janmashtami, the appearance day of the Lord. They have a fast day. But on this fast day, the Lord, with the long beard and the cane, and the old man has difficulty walking in their conception. He is sitting with a big book. I guess now it's computerized. But we were taught He sits with a big book. And on this day, it's called the Day of Atonement, he either puts you in the book of life or the book of death. And if you eat on this day, you are in the book of death. A couple of times I ate on that day, and somehow or other, I didn't die. I don't know. But there are certain ideas that he looks at everything you've done. And on this day, he has two books. One is the book of life. This was what I was taught from 4 years old, 3 years old. That on this day of atonement, God puts you either in the book of life or the book of death. So we're praying all day, please God, don't kill me. Please don't kill me. Please don't kill me. Not, oh my Lord, oh energy of the Lord, let me engage in your service. You are threefold bending with flute and bluish form and lover of Radha and the gopis. No, no. Old man, please don't kill me. I know this is your pastime to kill and torture the children and even my... Don't kill my parents, please. Because then how will we eat? How will I get a ride to school? How will anything... At least for now, don't kill anybody, okay? This was our prayer. We prayed. But seriously speaking, not a joke, this was the conception. Anyone else had this conception? I think, Satya, you had that conception. You also learned that conception. Unbelievable. I think most Westerners, maybe not the Indians. So because we had no spiritual master to teach us, who is God, what does he look like, where does he live, what does he do? Some concoction that God's like this, he's an old man. He can barely walk. Can you imagine? He's God, but they even have pictures of him. He's like in worse shape than me. Limping here and there. He's got all kinds of kidney, liver, and problems. This is not God. This is a concoction. Where they get this conception, I'm not sure, because I read their books a little bit, and it doesn't exactly portray God like that. But somehow, they come up with this conception. Therefore, we need a spiritual master. And we need to follow the bona fide spiritual master. The spiritual master gives us the vision, who is Krishna, what he is doing, where he lives, what is his situation. We don't have to concoct anything. We don't have to add anything. We don't have to, Srila Prabhupada states in Srimad Bhagavatam, what is that? Three things you don't have to amend, add, or no addition, no amendment, no something like that. Yeah. So, Krishna, Srila Prabhupada is giving us, but if we don't follow, then everything's ruined. There is a history. We're not trying to be critical or political. But there is a history in our society that in 1967, one devotee, one of the first men to join the movement in 1966. In 1967, Srila Prabhupada took this individual to India and gave him the first sannyas. And he sent him back, go to London and preach there to the English. Srila Prabhupada gave him money, gave him the passport, the ticket, all facility. For some reason, this person, first sannyasi in our society, it's history. It's actually history. He decided not to follow Srila Prabhupada's instruction. But now I am a sannyasi. He was a senior devotee. He had been in the movement 1 year. I remember when I was in the movement, I got initiated first month because I made a big donation. And the president recommended me the month after I joined. And within 6 months, I was a Brahmin. So I was in the movement 6 months, and I was thinking, I'm senior devotee. Everyone has to listen to me. I'm a Brahmin. You realize who you're talking to? I'm a Brahmin. You see this thread? Unfortunately, sometimes in Krishna consciousness, these externals go to our heads. We used to think we were senior devotee after 2 years or 3 years. Someone was in the movement 4 years. Oh my God, he's so senior. Now devotees have been in the movement 66 until now. I saw one devotee yesterday in San Diego. He joined in 1966. He never left a day. Him and his good wife, I forget his name, Marasuna. And I was talking with him. He's been in the movement now 48 years. And he said to me, I'm just waiting. When am I going to make some advancement? He's such a sweet devotee. Been in the movement since 66, 48 years. That's, I think, the most senior man by years. So, oh my God. But it was still 66, but few months earlier. He met Prabhupada. Okay, I take it back. Of course. Oh, glorious Mukunda Maharaj. We love him. Great, great devotee now in, I think, Australia. Great sadhu. Great Prabhuji. So this one-year devotee, he was the first to take sannyas historically in our society. And he thought, now I'm a big man. Now I know so much. Now I'm a sannyasi. Now I know more than my spiritual master. So he disobeyed the order of Srila Prabhupada. He went back to New York. At that time, I believe there were about four temples in ISKCON, 1967 fall. And the history goes that he started preaching to the devotees that you should not dress like the Orientals, he said. We should not wear the flag and the tilaks, and definitely not wear dhoti, sari, kurta, choli. And he started preaching some different philosophy. Srila Prabhupada found out and wrote a letter. He wrote many, many letters because he was very upset that this deviation. And he wrote a letter to Brahmananda Swami in the fall of 67. Brahmananda Prabhu at the time, who was, I believe, the president of New York, that this devotee should no longer be able to speak at any of our temples. At the three or four temples that existed in 1967. He said, with great difficulty, I got him with the help of Allen Ginsberg out of the Bellevue Hospital. Bellevue Hospital in New York has a very serious mental ward. And this devotee, Srila Prabhupada had helped him to get out of Bellevue. And Prabhupada said, if need be, we can return him there because now he has gone mad. By propagating a philosophy against what Prabhupada had said and by not following the spiritual master. By minimizing Srila Prabhupada's position and Srila Prabhupada's authority. Prabhupada wrote a letter to this devotee and said, if you really love me, you will go away from my disciples to a solitary place and just chant until you get better. And actually, at that time, this devotee followed Srila Prabhupada's instruction. And he went to a little town in West Virginia with one associate. And he stayed by himself, just the two of them. And they chanted. And that place was called Moundsville, West Virginia. And became, in the spring of 68, New Vrindavan. And then he was following, at that time, Srila Prabhupada, and started our blessed New Vrindavan farming community, our ISKCON New Vrindavan. But the deviation, Srila Prabhupada considered it a deviation, that if you don't follow the spiritual master, with no addition, no amendment, no, what was the third? Huh? No, it's three A's. You got it wrong. No addition, no amendment, no something else. Okay, whatever. You follow the spiritual master very seriously and strictly. Don't change a thing. We were saying yesterday in San Diego that we're so fortunate that Bhagavan Narayan Swami is the governing body commissioner and leader of the temple. Temple has been there since 77. If you came in 77 and you came in 2014, maybe some more gray hairs and a little bit different looks, but basically, same program, same idea, same function. Similarly here, I was here in 1973. And basically speaking, even some of the same people are here. Amala Bhakta Prabhu, Suvasan Tidit, some other of the Matajis. Nothing is just a few gray hairs. Few pounds gained, few pounds lost of prasadam. Hard to say. Depends what time of year it is. But basically, everything's going on. Devotees are same. Deities are being worshipped wonderfully. Is the same when we were here in 1973. Potency is still there because everyone is following Prabhupada by the grace of Suvas Prabhu and the senior devotees. Everyone is following Prabhupada without deviation. Same program of prasadam, books, harinam, deity worship, beautiful property kept up by Naikatma Prabhu. Everything very beautiful. Even looks better. I had to look up for a wedding we're doing next week, the Hare Krishna handbook. I went online, Google Hare Krishna handbook, and up comes this book with a picture of 3764 Watsika. And I said, wow, this looks a little different. But I think it's the same. I looked out the window at the BBT from our offices, and the pillars are still there. It's the same building. This was a picture, I think, from 72 on the cover of the Hare Krishna handbook. And I went over all the points of the Hare Krishna handbook. We met with the bride and groom, their parents. One's Indian, one's Jewish. One parent is Jewish, one is Indian. and we went over all the vows. Do you take this so-and-so das as your husband, and you shall serve him throughout your life, and there shall never be any separation? And the Indian gentleman says, oh, very nice. And the Jewish girl said, I'm not going to say that. Does he say that he's going to serve me throughout his life and there will never be? I said, well, he says he's going to. This is the old book. The Indian gentleman from Delhi, you're very nice. Where do you get this? I said, oh, that's old Hare Krishna. That's our tradition. But the girl says, and then there's a part where you take off the top of the sari and put the vermilion. She says, we're not doing anything like that. He says, no, 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 you have to do. The father-in-law, he says, he knows, this Brahmin knows. He knows what he's talking about. And she said, I'm not going to cover my head with anything. I'm the bride. So we're waiting for their email to adjust. All of them are getting together, the Hindus and the Jews, to decide how the vows will read. And we'll say the vows, the real vows, under our breath, and whatever vows they want, we'll say externally. But this was old school, and when I read it, this is proper. The Indian gentleman agreed. This is the way it should be. So we should be very strictly adhering to the tradition. The world has changed, obviously. Since 73, things have changed. There's no more Vietnam War. Instead, we have other wars. So many wars. Social life has changed, but that doesn't mean that Hare Krishna changes. That remains very strict and very traditional. And in that sense, following the orders of the spiritual master, we can understand who is Krishna, who are we, what is our relationship, why is there suffering, how to get out of the suffering. Otherwise, if we try to amend and change things for the times, in the future, people may be living in trees, playing the flute naked. So we will still be wearing dhotis and saris, tilak and flag, sika, they called flag in those days. And preaching Hari Nama, Hari Nama, Hari Nama, Eva Kevalam. Kalo Nasteva, 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 Gatir Anyata. All glory to Sri Guru and Gauranga. Suhas Prabhu, please. I never ask for questions or comments because it's always too late, but this is a word from our sponsor. Yes.
I think there was an important part in that deviation that maybe you didn't mention, and that was that that particular individual actually felt that they knew more than their spiritual master.
Yeah.
And that was the reason for the deviation. He actually felt that if we wore dhotis, kurtas, tilak, and a flag, we would not be able to preach to the masses of people. And he actually said that the way that we can preach to the people is by wearing karmi clothes, regular karmi clothes.
And growing a beard.
Yeah, and growing a beard. And
some
that's
of us
the way
have beards because of medicine. You're not allowed to cut.
But, you know, that was the purpose. In other words, he exhibited outright, you know, disregard for Srila Prabhupada's.
Defiance.
Yeah, defiance. Because he thought he actually knew better. And we're seeing that even that creeps up even today. This incident happened some 40-something years ago. And then again, that same individual did it again. In the 80s, that very same person did it again
after
in West Virginia,
After Prabhupada.
After Prabhupada. And now we're seeing that it's even creeping in today. There are people in our movement that are saying we need to wear karmic clothes. And that's the only way we can actually preach. And if you would just think about that for a moment, can you imagine coming to Mangal Aarti in the morning and the men are wearing shorts and T-shirts and leading kirtan and going about our business here in that kind of garb? You can just see that these deviations, it's a lack of surrender to the spiritual master.
Correct. Prabhupada did say, however, in his letters, if you read the pastime thoroughly, that I never said that devotees can't wear plain clothes. Our devotees can dress like gentlemen and ladies nicely, but we have to be distinguished, Prabhupada said, from the hippies. He said we can't dress like hippies, and especially in the temple, Prabhupada said, we wear devotional clothing. Savas Prabhu. Thank you very much. All glories to Prabhupada.